these teachings and the practices which we are engaged in here have a long, long history. And this history goes back, of course, many, many generations. The Buddha Dharma, as one expression of this, goes back just over 100 generations. And it reflects and mirrors the long history of our species of raising questions, of reflecting, of meditating, of exploring these questions of what it is to be human, what is life about, who am I, what matters, what is ethical, what is love, what is it to wake up, is a liberated way of life possible, and much, much more. And it's a credit and precious that women and men on this earth, from one generation to the next, truly keep alive these kinds of explorations. And the way that it has manifested over the years and over the centuries is exactly the way that we are engaged in here. Various groups of people, 5, 10, 20, 50, 80, 100 or more, coming together in a spirit of friendship and cooperation, in a spirit of inquiry, meditation and listening, to see what we can discover, what we can realize and find out. And there's a certain value and integrity to all of this. And as I say, it's gone on century after century, different climates, different cultures, different circumstances, different societies, but the form is common. People of practice, teaching and cooperation to bring what is deep and precious out of us. That is the thread, that is the theme that runs through. And it's been said, and it's being said again today, and it's been said again in the past many, many times, that the exploration of the human experience and the discoveries that we can find out are so valuable, they are so rich, they are so significant, that they are genuinely regarded as priceless. We can't really measure the importance. And what's valuable for us as people of the earth, that where the interest is on the human experience, both inwardly and outwardly, it relies much less on belief systems, it relies much less on ideology, and the acts of the listening and the intimacy of the sharing, sometimes it only takes a single insight to really transform the life, a single discovery to have a fresh direction in life. And sometimes we in our communications, that's all of us here, in a small group, we may say something, you may say something, teachers may say something, and out of that, the words of what was listened to register, touch a very precious place inside the human being, and that being touched by changes the life, opens up, expands the heart, and this we're interested in. And one hopes as well that the interest in this will be a tremendous priority in the daily life. Tovana, to its credit, in fact, to its everlasting credit here, has, with all the challenges and difficulties, have endeavoured to make the teachings and the practices, these retreats, as available and as accessible as possible. And one of the ways that all of us in this hall here benefit from that is by the willingness to offer teachings and practices on dana, on the donation, on the act of the gift, the practice of the generosity. and that principle is a precious thread. And just this morning, speaking to Stephen Fulder, as many of you know, a founder of Tovenup, he said to me in the years of these retreats taking place, somewhere around 17,000 people from Israel have come and participated in the retreats. And part of the reason for that has been and continues to be made possible is because of the trust, such a powerful vehicle inside our hearts and minds, that it can be run on donations. It can be run through kindness and generosity. And there's one who's an internationalist who travels to different parts of the world. People hear of the initiatives here of Tovenup, really touched, really appreciative of the expressions of kindness and generosity from the Sangha, from the men and women, to keep these programs alive and well. And in some areas and some places in the world, and unfortunately, particularly sometimes in the Anglo-American world, sometimes the daily rate of these retreats and courses do go up, and that quite highly, and that does make it more difficult for those, for the single mother, for the unemployed, for the student, for the elderly person living on a pension, for a person who is in transition, to a person with financial problems, to be able to attend. And though there are generous kindnesses and bursaries which are being offered, some people, and I understand it, feel uncomfortable in asking to be supported. And with here, and people often ask how it works here, and it's often the first thing it's said to me about Israel and the Dharma and the Sangha, how do they do it? How do these retreats run just on the donation principle there? And that because you and others and the previous groups and people who have come here feel so dedicated and committed to it that it keeps going from one retreat to another. And of course the number of retreats each year and the numbers of people is growing. And I hear with Stephen Fulder with his book, is now touring the pubs and the wine bars of Israel to pack groups of people and getting them to put down their glass of beer and put their hands in their lap and meditate. Long may it continue. And it just shows, look, if the Dharma is going into the pubs, it can go anywhere. So all these beautiful gestures of care, support, and in the wider community as well, from the prisons to social services, to asylums and immigrants, and just a couple of days ago, you may have noticed, two leading Palestinians were in the hall here. They spent the afternoon here. I spent 2.5 hours talking with them. And a primary reason for their coming here is seeing what these teachings and practices are about. And the Palestinian, who doesn't find it easy, I have to say, coming into Israel, and when his comment on listening to the afternoon talk and just sitting there by the door there, he said what really touched him, what really appreciated him, was the community of us, the group of us sitting in the hall, and sometimes from myself listening to different things being said about wars, about division, about separation, all was included in the talk. And he said just the Israelis were sitting quietly listening, seeing in a respectful way to teachings. And all credit to all of you, and as of course reminded him, it's an open exploration here. We also have our groups and other situations and opportunity to look into what is compassion and what is love, what is connection there. And sometimes just one afternoon of caring, thoughtful people being together, it could change the heart and mind of two Palestinians coming to listen, having a different feeling of each other. And it's all credit to all people who are willing to take the steps to meet, as you and I have been doing here together over these days. With the donations and the acts of the gift, the acts of the sharing there, we, as the teachers here as well, also part of the same tradition of trust too. And one of the things I noticed, having lived on donation since 1970, initially as a Buddhist monk and then disrobing in the East some 6 years later, that sometimes during life there are small moments in our life where the act of the generosity, the movement of the gift, really speaks to us in a very, very precious way. And of course, there are many ways to give, many acts of offering. And sometimes you and I, we may offer that through giving time to a person, to giving love, our attention, giving our knowledge, sharing of our experiences, giving of information, giving of skills, giving of capacities to really give support. And it's a common denominator on this earth that the people that you and I love most and appreciate most are those who give most. And we do feel concern, and understandably in life, where people or groups of people seem to be taking a lot, taking too much for themselves to add and acquire wealth, power and money, and something inside of us feels uncomfortable about taking. And there's something which responds in our heart and in the deep, and some of the great heroes and heroines of our earth, what the Buddha called the gods and the goddesses, are those who actually have given most. And sometimes we know people have stayed so true to love, so true to dedication, so true to service, they give their life for it. And sometimes, as we know, it's cost them their life. And that those acts of the gift, of the giving, the practices of generosity and sharing, is something deeply precious, really precious. In the afternoon period and in the sharings that take place, this movement of love, which is what it is, and just the many expressions of that, your acts of kindness and gifts, in this case in the afternoon period, the gifts of the donations which give us, the three of us, support, there is an understanding in that event, or this event which takes place, and it's a very, very important one. It's important for us, the teachers, and equally for everyone else. It is that in the act of the kindness, the giving of money to give support there, everything that we receive with regard to that, we have the responsibility and the duty, out of respect for the giver, to use that money in a sensitive, respectful, mindful, responsible and caring way. It is to be used, and only to be used, for the kind of necessities of life, for food, for clothing when it's needed, to pay the various household bills, to give support to others in the variety of ways that we can, for medication if it is needed at a time, to give support to our practices, to give support to preparing information for the engagement in the work that goes on between the courses, the meetings, the committee meetings, the websites, the emails. I may say just personally, probably around 3,000 emails a year I respond to. And the various websites and the writings and much, much else. All of that is made possible simply because the Sangha of practitioners are saying to the teachers, we wish to support what you do. And we, benefiting and supported by you, this enables us to engage in the retreats and the periods in between the retreats. And I think it's a really lovely agreement. It's something very, very precious. Others, and of course here and elsewhere, frankly I'm quite fine with it, will use the model, most common model, payment for services. This is the service which I offer, whoever the person is, and this is what it costs for the hour or for the workshop, this is my charge for that, and that's the normal method, payment for services. But the dana, D-A-N-A, it's not so much a measurement from the mind, which is fine to use and practical and saves people having to give the dana talk as well. but also it's a movement from the heart. It's a heart event. It's heartfulness. And that heartfulness, as I say, gives support to us. And Ran here with his the family and the children and all the support, and of course living there in Kiel, and Elia, who's been such a good pillar for the Dharma and the Sangha for many years, and worked and giving teachings both here, of course, and with myself and other teachers in France on the Yatra, and many other initiatives as well. And similarly with myself, and I probably mentioned my darling daughter, with a single mum with the four kids. So some of the dana has to go that direction. I do like my children eating, grandchildren eating when they can. So no, very bad joke, etc. Very bad, shoot me. And it's the expansion and all the good support, because our families also, I say, give support to us and enable us to be here. And one of Iran's children, he said to me a couple of days ago, had a fever, and naturally enough, father's a bit concerned there, and just checking in with the family regularly enough, and staying here and giving us support there. So all of these aspects all go on. The donations and the dana contributes to giving support to us. And I have to say, it's a really precious and important statement that all of us make about what kindness and giving and sharing is about. And a huge thank you to each and every one of you for this. I pass over to you.
I will be in Hebrew. There is translation in the back. סטיבן, שכריסטופר הזכיר אותו עכשיו, קורא, מכנה לפעמים את הדנה, הכלכלה של הלב. אני חושב שאפשר לומר שאנחנו מעורבים ביחד באיזשהו סוג של ניסוי שהוא מאוד מאוד רדיקלי, מאוד יוצא דופן, מאוד מחוץ לקופסה. כמו שעולה מהדברים שקריסטופר אמר עכשיו. יש בזה משהו שהוא הוא בהחלט מאתגר כמורה, כאבא, כמפרנס, לצאת לעבודה. לא שומעים? עכשיו? לצאת לעבודה, כן? קוראים לזה עבודה. ולא לדעת, לא לדעת מה יהיה, עם מה יחזור. יש בזה בהחלט משהו מאתגר. יש בזה משהו מאתגר כדבר הזה שאנחנו קוראים לו תובנה, כאילו זה איזשהו דבר מה. ובכל אופן זה איזשהו ארגון שמוציא קבלות, כמו שעוד מעט תראו, ויש לו חשבון בנק, ומקבל חשבונות ומשלם משכורות, וגם כן לא יודע בדרך שאנחנו רגילים לדעת בצורה קצת יותר מסודרת ובטוחה מה יקרה. ובו בזמן יש בזה משהו כל כך אמיתי, שכל כך מתאים בעצם למה שאנחנו מדברים אליו כאן, ולאי ודאות שתמונה כל כך עמוק בחיים. והרדיקליות הזאת היא גם בוודאי באה אלינו כאשר אנחנו בצד הנותן, כמו שאתם יושבים עכשיו, ועולה המקום, אבל כן, אוקיי, אני מתחבר, אני מתחברת, והייתה כאן חוויה משמעותית, ואני רוצה או רוצה לתת כדי שזה יימשך, לתמוך במורים, לתמוך בארגון, אבל תגידו, כמה? מה זאת אומרת לתת באופן חופשי? משהו כל כך לא רגיל בדרך שבה אנחנו רגילים לחשוב, בדרך שבה אנחנו רגילים לפעול. היה פעם באיזשהו סוף של ריטריט, ברגעים ממש דומים, קצת אחרי שקמתי מסוף של שיחה כזאת, האמת זה היה גם אחרי, כבר אחרי הזמן של הדנה, כשהייתי בחדר, ניגש אליי מישהו שהיה איתי באותו חדר, ואמר לי, זה היה באנגלית, אבל אני אגיד את זה בעברית, אמר לי, תגיד, כמה נתת? והייתי מאוד מאוד מופתע מהשאלה, בכלל כל הנושא הזה של כסף, דרך כלל נושא של סקס וכסף נחשבים לטאבואים הכי גדולים. ואז הוא כזה הסתכל עליי, אמר לי, אני לא מתכוון לסכום, למספר, אבל תגיד, יכול להיות שנתת הכי מעט שאתה יכול לתת ולהרגיש בסדר עם עצמך? והלך לדרכו. והשאלה הזאת מאוד מאוד הדהדה בי. ההזמנה של הדנה, כפי שגם בא לידי ביטוי, אני חושב בדברים של קריסטופר, לא, בטח לא הזמנה לסבול, אבל היא עוד אפילו הרבה יותר רדיקלית מזאת. היא הזמנה לשמוח בנתינה. היא הזמנה לראות את הזכות ואת האפשרות לתת נתינה חופשית באמת. ולראות את הטבעיות של התנועה הזאת שיש לנו, לרצות לתת, לרצות לתמוך במה שחשוב, במה שיפה בעינינו. קריסטופר הזכיר את זה שעבורנו המורים, הנתינה הזאת, הדנה הזאת, היא תמיכה מאוד משמעותית, חלק מאוד משמעותי מההכנסות שלנו. תובנה כבר די הרבה שנים, זה לא היה ככה מתמיד, אבל זה כבר יותר מ-10 שנים, שתובנה מתקיימת לחלוטין, גם כן רק על בסיס של דנה. וכמו שהוא אמר, זה גם בעולם הזה של הדרמה, זה ארגון יוצא דופן מהבחינה הזאת. ששוב, שתובנה כארגון בדיוק כמונו אמורים, כמו כולנו, חיים בתוך הכלכלה, איך נקרא לה? הכלכלה הרגילה. ובסוף ריטריט שכזה, אסף מעביר לה, אסף אליאור מעבירים לגזברות את מספרי הלינות, ומספרי הלינות מועברים על ידי הגזברות לאירוח תבור, אנדור, ואנדור לפי זה מה עושים? הם לא אומרים, אוקיי, תנו לנו דנה, שולחים חשבונית. וככה גם הספק ירקות, או חברת התעופה, או שלל ההוצאות הרבות שישנן כדי להחזיק ארגון כזה. גם הוצאות ישירות, כמו לינה, אוכל, נסיעות, וגם ההוצאות הבלתי נמנעות מסביב, זה כמו מי שמתאם את כל נושאים, הנושאים שקשורים לקורס, כל ההחזקה של העמותה, רשם העמותות, רואי חשבון, וכל הדברים האלה ביחד. וזה ממש ממש מדהים, כי אנחנו כבר בלבל שאנחנו קיים, בעידן שלנו ובנפח הפעילות של תובנה, זה כבר מזמן חצה את רף המיליון שקל בשנה. וכל הכסף הזה מגיע בינתיים, שוב ושוב ושוב הוא ממשיך להגיע, והכל ממתנות של אנשים. אין מאחורי הארגון הזה, ממשלה בינתיים לא תומכת. תומך השיר, אם יש פה מישהו שיכול לחשוב על איזשהו טייקון שאולי יתעניין בתובנה, תנסו לחבר, בינתיים עוד לא הופיע מישהו כזה. כל מהמון המון מתנות קטנות כאלה שנאספות ביחד ומאפשרות לגלגל הזה להמשיך להתגלגל. סוג של נס. וזו זכות גדולה. אני חושב לכולנו להיות שותפים בהתגלגלות הזאת. כמה מילים פרקטיות על איך זה בעצם התנהל.